basis for that congregation. In Acts chapter 16, you read about a woman named Lydia, and you read about a Philippian jailer, and we learn that not only did these individuals hear, believe, and obey the gospel, but we also know that members of their families, people of their household, perhaps even servants, heard and believed and obeyed the gospel as well. So I want you to focus on Acts chapter 16 because that's where our thoughts are going to primarily come from today. But I want to remind you of something that's said in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. In Philippians 1, beginning at verse 3, the Apostle Paul, writing to this congregation that he was so close to, these individuals that he loves so dearly. You remember in the book of Philippians, he calls them, describes them as his joy, and he uses the word joy so many times, and many fond and beautiful memories of this congregation, obviously in his heart. And he says to them at the very outset of this letter to them, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That first day that we read about is in our primary text, Acts chapter 16. Here we read about the establishment of the church. Not a lot of tremendous details given about everything that we might like to know, but there is certainly sufficient information, and we want to focus especially on Lydia. We want to look primarily at Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. She's mentioned one more time in the chapter in verse 40. But this is who we want to focus on for our lesson this morning, because it seems pretty obvious to me that when the Apostle Paul wrote back to these brethren, I know he's being guided by the Holy Spirit and all that's involved, but that doesn't remove the personal relationship that Paul had with these individuals. And that does not remove or erase the personal dynamic that Paul had. And so he could say very sincerely with everything in his heart, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And no doubt, one of those people that he was remembering, one of those people that he was thanking God for, was this woman named Lydia. In Acts chapter 16, we read, beginning at verse 13, and now on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city. This is Paul and those who were with him. We went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us or implored us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Again, we find her name mentioned toward the end of the chapter, in fact, in the last verse of the chapter, verse 40, in which we learn after Paul and Silas are released from prison that they go to Lydia's house to receive comfort and blessings before they make their way on to their next place for missionary purposes. This morning, as we think about Lydia, there are three points that I want us to think about, and they're all going to revolve around something being open. In the text itself, it tells us that the Lord opened her heart. So we want to think, obviously, number one, about Lydia's heart being open, but there's some more to it. Because secondly, I want us to think about that Lydia opened her household to the gospel. And third, I want us to think about the fact that Lydia opened her house to these missionaries in a great act of unselfish hospitality. So, as we begin our journey in thinking about Lydia, let's study where the text tells us that as she was gathered with these other women by that river, the Lord opened her heart to the things that were being taught and preached by Paul. It appears that in the city of Philippi, there was no synagogue. We're not entirely certain if Lydia was of Jewish birth, but it does appear that even if she was not of Jewish birth, she was a Jewish proselyte or a Jewish convert worshiping God under the system of the old law. And in the city of Philippi, there were Jews. It was primarily a Roman city filled with a variety of people. But primarily, there we want to think about, why were these women gathered out by the river? According to the Jewish traditions and their rules outside of the law of Moses, they would establish a synagogue in a city if there were at least 10 Jewish males who were willing to take the leadership of that synagogue. Apparently in Philippi, there were not 10 Jewish males who were at least willing to take the leadership role of establishing a synagogue. So there was apparently no synagogue in Philippi. So Lydia and these women, notice no men really are mentioned. Lydia and the women. And so apparently these people of faith, and likely of Jewish faith, they were gathered on the Sabbath day, because there was no synagogue, chose to gather at this location by the river, and there they prayed. And notice it says, customarily. This was a regular habit of theirs. Lydia was not a native of Philippi. She was from the city of Thyatira, which is mentioned in Revelation chapter 2. It's one of the seven congregations that the Lord wrote to. This would have been probably at a later date when that occurred, but when a congregation was established there. But Lydia is some 250 to 300 miles from her hometown by being in Philippi. She's a businesswoman, and she is what the Bible calls a seller of purple. Now, to you and me today, that may not seem like something outstanding, but in that day and time, it was a very lucrative income, because the color of purple to dye a cloth was really only, you couldn't go down, you know, to Walmart and buy a thing of Rit dye or something like that and do that in the washing machine. It had to be extracted from a certain fish and animals that you would find in the water, you know, aquatic life. And this was extracted in small quantities, and so it took a lot of that manual labor to do this, to create enough dye to dye a garment. And consequently, it sold for a very high dollar. And most of the time in the first century and the time it connected with this, it was associated with royalty. In fact, the color of purple is still connected with royalty even today. But it was kind of an exclusive for usually the very wealthy, which probably indicates that Lydia, as an individual, may have had some means, may have been a person of some wealth. The fact that she had a house that was large enough to accommodate these people with Paul also maybe indicates that she had some wealth. But she was a religious person. She did not let her business and income interfere with her faith. And while probably many of her competitors and many other people in this line of business would have been open on the Sabbath day, for at least this time and perhaps all of the Sabbath day, if she was being a faithful Jew, she would have been closed. Because she put first things first. And as occasion would have it, on this time when she was faithfully there, Paul, Silas, Luke evidently is with them, perhaps a few others, they come and they begin preaching. And so, as our first point we mentioned a moment ago, the Lord opened her heart to the things that were being taught. Many in the religious world think that this means that God, in some very direct way, separate and apart from the preaching of the gospel, touched Lydia's heart to make her very receptive to the truth. But we have to understand that Lydia's heart was already receptive to God. That's why she was out by the riverside. That's why she was there for prayer. And that her heart apparently was already receptive to the truth, because it's, I think, demonstrated by the fact that she was praying to God and worshiping God on this particular occasion and customarily doing this. We have to see that if God could have opened her heart without the preaching of the gospel, well, there's a statement that's made and an event that happens a little earlier in this chapter that it would almost make no sense. In Acts chapter 16, verse 9, Paul had a vision. Now, that was supernatural, yes, but Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. If God could just operate directly on the hearts of people without Paul being there, without the preaching of the gospel, and without the word of God, that vision really would have been fairly pointless. But God sent Paul there to people like this who were already receptive of God and open to the teaching of God, to open the hearts of these people, not to God, not separate and apart from the preaching of the gospel, but to Jesus Christ. The text tells us, as we look a little closer at it, that this woman named Lydia, her heart was open to heed the things that were spoken by Paul. The King James Version and several others say that she heard us, or that she would heed us. Brother Hugo McCord in his translation says she was listening. She was listening. And there's an imperfect tense in the original language here that suggests this is a very accurate translation, that she was listening. What was she listening to? She was listening to Paul. She was listening to the preaching of the gospel. She was listening to the word. You know, some people will not listen very long to preaching. Some people will not listen very long to preaching, particularly if it involves a change of lifestyle, if it involves a change of religion, as it would for Lydia and those other people there. But she listened. She was listening. She kept listening, because it is the heart that the gospel works on. Lydia was already open to God. She was a believer. Lydia was already open to worship. Lydia was already open to prayer. And this was a consistent, regular, customary habit of hers. What she needed to open her heart to was Jesus Christ and a fuller and more complete understanding of the gospel. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 5, in regard to people whose heart were not open, people who were not willing to listen to him, Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 15, this people's heart has waxed or grown dull. It has grown dull, for their ears, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should at any time should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. Key phrase, understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Lydia's heart was already open to God. It was already open to worship. It was open to her need. So what did God need to open? When the text tells us that God opened her heart, what did he need to open? She believed in God. She worshiped God. She prayed to God. She did this customarily. Well, what did God need to open? He needed to open her mind and her heart and her knowledge to the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. She needed to know what the fulfillment of the law was. The gospel of Jesus. She needed to know who Jesus was. She needed to know that he came to die for her and forgive her of her sins. And she needed to know to believe that gospel, to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and obey him as Lord and Savior, ultimately, and we'll talk a little more about this in a moment, by being immersed in his name. That's what the Lord opened her heart to. And that was done through the preaching of the word. Through the preaching of the gospel. It was the preaching of the gospel that opened the heart. Not a supernatural miracle, but the preaching of the gospel opened the heart. And when her heart was open and she was listening, she heeded. She was listening to the things that were being said. And she continued to listen. And as Jesus said, she understood with her heart. The opposite of some people he addressed there in Matthew chapter 13. People who who close their ears and close their eyes and close their minds and close their hearts. They failed and could not understand with the heart because they had closed everything down. Lydia listened with her ears open. She listened with her eyes open. She listened with her heart. She listened with her mind. And she understood with the heart. That's what Jesus said he wanted the goal to be, for people to understand with the heart and be converted and healed. And so it is through the preaching of the gospel that the Lord opened her heart. But now, number two, we see that the Lord, that Lydia, the Lord opened her heart, number one. But number two, Lydia opened her household to the gospel. Lydia was out here by the river, as she customarily was, for the purpose of prayer and worship. But notice what the text says as we read further into it, verse 15. And when she and her household were baptized. Now, perhaps some of the household was there with her, but I think even if they were not, the implication is safe in our understanding that as she heard and believed the gospel, she took that message back and she took the messengers back and she took the gospel back to her household and she had it taught to them as well. And notice the text says the end result of all this, as I said, we would elaborate on it a little more in a moment. The end result of this is having heard the gospel, having opened her heart to the gospel in Jesus Christ, she was baptized. She was baptized and those in her household also were baptized. This is the natural response to one who is not a Christian, who hears and believes and desires to obey the gospel. The book of Acts itself is replete with examples. Let me just remind you of a few. Acts chapter 2, about 3,000 people in Acts chapter 2 heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and responded to it by being baptized in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 8, you have a number of people in Samaria who are baptized into Jesus Christ. One of them is specifically mentioned in Acts chapter 8, a man named Simon the sorcerer. Also in Acts chapter 8, we read about a treasurer from Ethiopia who is returning home, and he heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and he was baptized, he was immersed in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 9, with parallel accounts in Acts 22 and Acts 26, we read about the man named Saul who heard the gospel, who believed the gospel, whose heart was opened through the preaching of the word, and he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts 10 and 11, we read about a man named Cornelius that Peter preached the word to. And his heart and the hearts of the people who heard that gospel preached, who believed, were open to the gospel and obeyed him, obeyed the gospel as well, obeyed Jesus, and were baptized in his name. In Acts chapter 16, the very chapter we're in, not only do we read about Lydia, but a little further in this chapter, you read about the unnamed Philippian jailer and his household who heard the gospel, believed it, and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If you move further ahead in the book of Acts to chapter 18, you read about the Apostle Paul and some of the others going to Corinth. And there they find people that they teach and preach to. They hear the gospel. They believe the gospel. Their heart is open to the gospel. They understand the gospel. And they are immersed. They are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 19, they go to Ephesus. And the story repeats itself again. There are people there who hear the preaching of the word. They are receptive to it. Their heart is open to understand. And they are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, the book of Acts is replete with examples of those who heard the gospel, whose heart was open to the gospel, and ultimately they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Lydia opened her household to the gospel. And through her influence and further preaching, I'm fairly certain of Paul and those who are with him, people in her household, whether that be family members, employees, servants, or a combination of both, heard the gospel, their heart was open to it, and they understood it, and they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, some have gone to this text in an attempt to justify infant baptism because their household was baptized. Same thing with the Philippian jailer in the same chapter. And they have gone to this text to justify infant baptism, but first of all, I want you to notice a couple of things about Lydia. Number one, we don't know if she had any children. The text simply does not say. And number two, if she had children, and we don't know that, we don't know they were infants. We don't know that they were young children. Furthermore, we can use the same reasoning with the word household a little further to that incident I referred to a moment ago in Corinth in Acts chapter 18, not only to show that infants could be baptized, if that is true, if household means infants and small children, it could also mean that they believe. Because in Acts chapter 18, verse 8, the Bible tells us Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord Jesus with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. In Acts chapter 18, verse 8, when it says Crispus believed with his house, guess what? The word in Acts 18, verse 8, that's house, is the same word in the original in Acts 16, describing household for Lydia. It's just a different word in the English. It's the same word in the original. So if Acts 16 means that young children and infants could be immersed, could be baptized, if you argue that from Acts 16, guess what you got to do from Acts chapter 18? You got to say they also believed, because the same word is there. I know infants believe three things: eating, getting rid of what they ate, and sleeping. Beyond that, they don't care or believe anything else. So infants, you cannot justify baptizing them because they can't hear with their ears, they can't see with their eyes the gospel, they can't understand with the heart and understand what they need to do to obey the gospel. They have not yet reached that age where their mental capacity and their spiritual heart has developed to understand what all that means. But adults like Lydia, like the jailer, like Crispus, and those of the household of each who are described, obviously can. And so as we have opportunity, let us open our households to the gospel. Let us open to our family the teaching and the preaching of the gospel. Let us open to our fellow man and friends and those we have influence over the teaching and the preaching of the gospel. But number three, Lydia opened her house with a great act of hospitality. Because we learn in the text in verse 15, after she was baptized, how convenient, because they were right by the river, she begged us, the New King James Version says, she begged us to come to their house to stay, and it's emphasized again at the end of verse 15, she persuaded us, she constrained us, she would have it no other way. And she didn't just invite them for supper. She didn't just invite them over for a good meal, but she said, come to my house and abide there. You stay here in my house. And she constrained them. She insisted on this. And in verse 40 that we referred to a few moments ago, after some things had occurred where Paul and Silas had been in prison and they had been beaten, and granted the Philippian jailer had washed their stripes, but they showed back up bruised and the trauma of having been beaten, Lydia welcomed them into her house again. And there they received comfort and blessing from being there. Hospitality. Hospitality. A lost art in our society. And unfortunately, it has only been made more difficult by the effects of the pandemic of the last year. But we need to open our homes to our friends. We need to open our homes to our brothers and sisters in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, "I beseech you, or I beg you, brethren, in the household of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Do we minister to one another? Do we show hospitality to one another like Lydia did? In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10, one of the good works that is mentioned is lodging strangers. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, we are admonished to not be forgetful to entertain strangers or those people that we don't know, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. In 1 Peter 4, verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Romans 12, verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Hospitality. Yes, after our hearts have been opened, after we have opened our households to the gospel, let's open our houses. Let's open our pocketbooks. Let's minister to one another. Let's show that kind of hospitality and comfort and blessing to one another. In fact, like Lydia, sometimes let's insist on it. Let's treat one another the way Lydia treated these men. Her standard, as we draw this to a close for inviting them over, is quite remarkable. She says in verse 15, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house." That's a remarkably high standard. Lydia is not afraid to put her faithfulness on the line. She asks an inspired apostle, "If you judge me to be faithful." She's putting her faithfulness on the line. It's not just a matter of a claim. It's a matter of behavior and action. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4, verse 13, that no creature is not manifested in His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You see, Jesus sees all. We do not have an apostle to invite home with us today. But if there was, would we be willing to use the same standard that Lydia uses? If you judge me to be faithful, will you come to my house? But Jesus and His Word is the standard. And Jesus' Word judges us every day. And does the Lord judge us to be faithful? Are we willing to have our hearts examined by Jesus? Are we willing to have our hearts examined by the Word of God? Are we willing, in light of what the apostles teach in the New Testament, in light of what Jesus says in the New Testament, to have our conversion examined? Are we willing to have our faith examined? Are we willing to have our worship examined? Are we willing to have our faithfulness examined? If you have judged me to be faithful, she says. A standard that's remarkable. A standard that each and every one of us needs to imitate in our own lives today. To the Lord, if you have judged me to be faithful, we say. Has the Lord judged you? Will the Lord judge you to be faithful? Will the Lord judge you to be one of His? Will the Lord acknowledge you to be His child, His servant? Faithful. Faithful. Open your heart to the gospel of Jesus. Obey the Lord and be faithful. Will you come this morning as we stand and we sing?